you. Amen.
Fantastic singing. Let's give them another applause. And they do an excellent job. And it blesses my soul to hear our praise team pray and sing. Today, my message will be talking about two things. Yes, we're going to talk about hope. We're going to talk about returning to your first love, if that's the case. And we're going to talk about the first time you accept Christ into your life. Returning to your first love, you'll find in Revelation chapter 2. And throughout the Bible, you will find verses of salvation. And my favorite is this. You might want to silently repeat this and add your name. For God so loved the world that he gave Don eternal life, so that Don should not perish, so that Don should inherit the kingdom. I paraphrase a little bit, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should not perish but have eternal life. It's another version. You use your version today. You use what God gives you in your heart. Make it personal, as Christ is personal for you. In your insert here, myself being an athlete, that's true. Charlie Primus, an ex-Harlem Globetrotter, who was my boss at Wayne County General Hospital and at Wayne County Youth Home, I've followed him down there as an intake officer in social work. He said I was the best, and he stopped. He was going to say white man. But he said, best little man I ever played with. He and I did play a game of charity at the University of Michigan Hospital for burns. Sports teams can only hope that each time they pray, they will win. Our hope, your hope, is like a final hit, a grand slam, home run, bottom of the ninth, the seventh game of the World Series. Your faith in Christ will strengthen and support you in your daily walk to serve Jesus Christ. This is the key of hope, faith, and love. The love of God grants and guarantees you victory. How? Repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I wanted you to think about that word, repent, and guarantees you victory. Yes, a winning team can only hope, but you will have victory. And the song at the end today is one of my favorites, Victory in Jesus. The invitational prayer that was on over the overhead, Pastor Tyson uses this invitational prayer after each of his messages. And I don't want to ask myself why, because I know I have listened to our pastor, your pastor, many times in board meetings, at breakfast. I know his heart is for the loss of the world. I bring this in evidence for the love he has for his church and his church family. And God has entrusted him to teach and ordained him this responsibility. Throughout the message, I'm going to say, what is your part? And I'll get to that at the end. This was just a little note, you know, in my notes here, right here. And I remember the first time Pastor Tyson carried his little child up here on the platform. You got to remember that. He hugged her. He's hoping that one day he will see her in heaven. That's a guarantee. And then my son Donnie was able to come today. He works a lot. He works a lot on Sundays. And I know his hope from watching him with his girls is the same. Let hope bring you to Christ today. today. Let hope renew you today. 2020 is going to have the same issues that you had in 2019. The enemy is after you, the devil. He wants you. He wants to destroy your hope. He wants you to not have joy. He does not want you to have things. We're going to talk about materialism. I'm sure you noticed the song, the sign. And I'm not necessarily going to talk about having possessions. I'm going to talk about a materialistic person and what leads to it. You know, our church practices open communion, free message church. I love that. What does that mean? It means that you do not have to be a member here to take communion. That you can come up here and partake of Holy Communion if you did your part. Receive Christ as your Savior. If you do your part, you receive Christ as your Savior. And very clearly, at that moment, if you need to return to your first love and repent, and the verse said, return to the height from which you have fallen and do the things you did at first. Amen? Do the things you did at first. And another thing we practice here at the Free Methodist Church is open altar. An open altar prayer is precious. That's another message about what is an open altar prayer. And I want to bring to remembrance of some people, and I've asked people for permission to share their testimony and their actions. One of my other favorite verses. My little children, I beseech you not to worship me in word, but in deed also. 1 John 3:18. Dorothy Scott. How many remember Dorothy Scott? She was a pistol. I talked to Lois Atkins' brother down at the camp where we live. It's not a camp, it's in Florida and in Lakeland. And Bill Atkins said she was a pistol. You know. I remember the first time I met Dorothy. It was at Pure Labor's Oil Factory over in Wayne. That's where I met my wife. She come up to me and read me the riot act. You better be good to her. She goes to my church. Her dad's a Christian, and she's going after me. And she said, and Kathy's going to be a beautiful lady when she gets up in the years. And that's true. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks. So we met, and then I started coming to church here with Kathy. And Dorothy would be here at the altar praying constantly, constantly. She would be here before, after, during the week. Her car broke down. And this is how I really got to know Dorothy Scott. She had no way to come to church at that time. Lois was sick in the hospital. And so I volunteered to bring her to church. I knew she loved to collect pennies and put them for the mission. So I would purposely leave pennies, but Dorothy had got on to me for my music downstairs in the youth group. She'd be waiting at the top of the steps, and she's going after me. And one time I had a Catholic priest come in here and preach downstairs. She didn't know that I got permission from Pastor Baker to do that, and he talked to that man for a very long time. That was John O'Callaghan from St. Mary's, a spirit-filled Christian. We disagreed in some theological issues and philosophy of the Catholic Church, but I learned to love him. And he preached a message down there, and Dorothy was waiting for me. And I said, Dorothy, can we go into the office? And Pastor Baker calmly told her, and she hugged me, and she actually kissed me. Said, I'm sorry. That's Dorothy. Bold, but humble. Our Christ was bold, wasn't he? But he was humble. He was not meek. But he was bold, but he was humble. And his purpose was fulfilled Amen?
Amen.
It was fulfilled on the resurrection Sunday as we celebrate. We don't know the days and all that. It's immaterial. So, back to the pennies. I put them on the floor anywhere. And that's now when Kathy and I go visit people. We let them sit up front. You know, we go pick someone up and take them shopping or something. We let them sit up front. So Dorothy, I asked her to sit up front. Boy, she grabbed the pennies and said, thank you. And we got to know each other quite well. And one time I asked her, Dorothy, what are you doing at the altar so I can pray with you? She said, I'm praying for the lost, just like John Tellen used to come here at our. And we had our revivals and sat with me in church and prayed for the lost of the world. She said, I'm praying specifically for Frank Hensley. She said, that's who I'm praying for. I knew Frank, tremendous athlete. We played basketball together, baseball, softball. We'd even go to the cages sometimes, a long time ago. Frank is in heaven now because she humbled herself. She humbled herself. So our walk with Christ is not about us. It's about others. And I think I need to reiterate this right now. I want to talk about conversion on a bridge. My conversion. I'm not boasting in that. I'm boasting in the blood of Jesus Christ, the song that was sung today. The song that was sung today because the blood of Christ is evidence in the resurrection Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was dating a young girl who Dorothy Scott told me was a Christian. We had got engaged to be married at this time. My car was broke down. It's February and it's very cold. I went to her home that night, and her words were not in anger. They were that of an eternalist. I will not marry a non-Christian. I left. I was not born again yet. That night, I'm walking south on Elizabeth Street, just south of Glenwood. And I begin to hear the words of Kathy. Yes. Bob Maxwell. How many remember Bob Maxwell? He was a pastor here when I first attended. He loved sports. He was a very personal man. He loved his church. And I'm going to put some other people here, and I'll get back to that story. I worked with Earl Hobacker. I got permission from him. Every morning, Pastor Hobacker would walk up and down before he went to the office. And he knew that Steve Hinkey sat there. And he would lay hands on that pew. He knew that Jeff Luke sat there. He knew that my family sat there. And he prayed. Then he would go in his office. He's an eternalist. So Bob preached a message, and I'll paraphrase from the book of James. It's not be like a double-minded person, and we'll hold these together. And your mind goes around and around and around and around, and you keep bouncing around. Do what the Word of God says. My grandfather would hold his ears when he would tell me that. He'd say, why do you let God's voice go in this ear and go out that ear? He said, do the Word of God. Repent. The only regret I have when I accepted Christ, my grandfather was not alive. Noe Hobbs. Noe Hobbs, H-O-P-P-S. I knelt on that bridge, and I had knelt many times and asked Christ into my life. I remember one incident. I was at a carnival. I wanted that bicycle. I told the Lord I would repent. I would do anything if I could win that bicycle. I didn't win the bicycle that day, but I won eternal life. I repented and asked God into my heart. It was cold. It was raining. I have no car. My apartment's way down on the south side of Michigan Avenue. I had to tell someone, so I ran all the way to this church, knocked on that door over there, and I asked if I could come in before he could ask me. He said, come on in, Don, sit down, it's cold. We sat there, and I told him what happened. He said, you know, everyone that Jesus called, he called publicly. And he quoted Billy Graham in a message that Billy Graham had preached. And he said, would you, Sunday, come to the altar and pray? As I explained why you're here, I said yes. I went to the altar, and all of a sudden, three men are there. Joe Wright, who from that day forward called me Big Shorty. Little Big Shorty, I rephrase, he called me Little Big Shorty. Bill Luke, who later in life, when we got older, he would say, how you doing today? And we would both say, there's three ages. There's three ages. Youth, middle age, and you're looking good. And Don Smith was there. And Don Smith, I think, worked for him in his janitorial service later when I got home in Vietnam. You see, that's hope. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's hope. Hope for 2020. 2020. Confident expectation is hope. That's hope. Biblical definition is a firm assurance regarding the things unclear and unknown. Romans 8, 24, 25, Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. Hope. Hope is rooted in the divine salvation in Christ. Listen to that. Hope is rooted in the faith in the divine salvation of Christ. Hope. It's rooted there. Love will bring it together. I preached this message in 1994 to 300, 400 teens at the Holy Campgrounds up in exit 155 off 94. And I talked about first day faith, next day love, and the last day hope. Hope. During that message, we had experienced some interference, as you will experience from Satan. That's why we need to do our part. And we were in small groups. I don't know to this day how they did, but we were in smaller groups at the campground. And a man said in our little group, he was not a teen. He was 27, 28 years old. He interfered all the time. All the time. Well, when I was getting ready to preach, he come running down the aisle. Boom. Yelling and screaming, this Jesus is not real. This Jesus is not real. And I went down and confronted him. He was not just obsessed, he was possessed. He was possessed trying to use the power of the enemy against God Almighty. He failed. He ran. Left. I asked him to leave. And I said, no, God, forgive me in my spirit as I'm talking. You're going to leave by the blood of Jesus Christ. People are going to get born again today. Kids are going to be saved. And I can name many who were there who are born again today. One's a pastor. He got born again at this altar. One is a pastor, 60 years old, Mike Saunders. That day was at the altar. Okay? But then later he said he just couldn't ask Christ into his heart that day. He's 60-some years old and just became a pastor. A girl who was possessing to be a witch was there. I met her through another team. And the day that team, Dan, teaches how to minister against cult religions, she accepted Christ. The black dress came off, the white makeup came on. Eventually. So hope is brought into being through what? The presence and promised Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13 is brought into being. May that hope of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So you trust in Him, so that you, Holy Comfort, will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Thank you for that posting there. Thank you. Hope is eternal glory. Eternal life. Hope is eternal glory, eternal life. Hope is produced by endurance, as we talked about here. We do not like to have this endurance through suffering. Listen, we do not like to be interfered with through suffering. Inspiration behind the endurance of God is available. Inspiration behind the endurance, God is available. Call on Him. Call on Him. You have a search warrant. Use it. This is the Bible. Use it. Your hope will increase. Read this Bible throughout. If you look for some scriptures, I will not give you all the scriptures. If you'd like to have some scriptures, it talks about search the scripture, and then you will find truth. And then you will find truth. Hope is salvation. Hope is exhibited in great boldness in our faith. Listen to that. Hope is exhibited in great boldness in our faith. I can conclude my message right now. I could. And I tried. Believe me, I tried. I shared this with Pastor Tyson and other people. I could not. I kept writing. Why? We have an enemy. Satan wants to destroy your hope, your faith in Christ, your love to see your family, friends, repent, accept eternal life, eternal glory. We will be tempted. He tried to tempt Christ Himself. He wants you to sit in this chair. Sorry, this chair. The materialist chair. He wants you to sit there. He wants you to sit there. I don't like sitting here, but I want to get a point across. You allow that? There are only two chairs in the universe, and each person will sit in one. There is a materialist who lives for himself. I will not be talking necessarily about things. We all have things, and that's fantastic. I remember the testimony of Ray Lewis and Denzel Washington. They said what kept them back for years was they had to give up their possessions. I'm talking about the attributes of a materialistic person. Their testimony is worth looking up online. A materialistic person goes through life selfishly, taking what he wants and living by the philosophy of survival of the fittest. Will disguise himself, his greed through the outward show of generosity, but in the deepest heart, he cares only for himself and his pleasures. When I taught school, I gave extra points for work assignments and extra points on the trivia question at the end of each exam. And I would say, you cannot fail my class if you follow two simple rules. One, turn in your homework assignments on time. Two, answer the trivia question at the bottom of your exam. I want you to remember that word. You cannot fail. I cannot give you guys extra points today. However, here goes. I want to give you a homework assignment. Please read the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Please read the book of Daniel, chapter 5, when you go home, or when you have time. Pay close attention to what happens to Belshazzar and those who followed his instruction. You can put someone else in there, his, can't you? Satan. And Google in the governor of New York. This is very, very hard for me. Signing in full-term abortion. Google in. Look at the laughs of the people sitting around him. They followed his instruction. They will receive judgment. Without a genuine repentance, they will receive. They will not see Christ. That's what will happen. They will be visiting the first materialistic person, Satan. They will visit him. Bear with me, I'm not trying to meddle. I'm only repeating what the Word of God says in hell. Revelation 20:10. I'm not attempting to serve you, to save you. No way. Only stating the factual events. This coming year, you're going to have those temptations and trials. You can be on the winning team, as I read in the beginning. I cannot give you guys those extra points. You will not fail if you follow these two rules. Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Believe in your heart. You shall be what? Saved. Amen. Question here. Your conscience, your consequences for accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will what? You will see Jesus. You scored 100% on the exam that I gave you. You will not fail. Because Christ is risen. Amen?
Amen.
He's risen. He's risen. He's risen in what?
Indeed.
Amen. Thank you. I paraphrase the following verses. Please take time to read these verses here, your Bible. The first definite example, and I said it before, when a materialistic being, he said to the woman, eat this fruit. You will not die. You will be like gods. That's in Genesis 3:4-6. Christ talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Here's the boldness. You are from beneath. You will die in your sins. Our Father is in heaven. Your father is the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. Chapter John 8. There are many attributes of a materialistic person. The Bible lists over 77 verses that state such a person is living in sin. Billy Graham preached this sermon, so I give him credit. I looked at it. The subject is important. It must be important to a materialistic person for God himself to ordain people to pin 77 verses on this word, materialistic. Choosing to habitually continue to sin. Right here, the word habitually continue to sin. That will not allow you to enter his kingdom. Belshazzar will not enter unless he repented. The governor of New York and those around him will not, because abortion is murder. It's here. I didn't say that. The Bible said it. Medical science says a baby's heart beats 90 times a minute. 90 times. Here's some attributes of a materialistic person. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Greed, envy, hate, desire, power, gossip, liars, infamate, E-F-F-I-M-A-T-E, homosexuality, jealousy. They will inherit the what? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:9. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Is this meddling? Remember to study the book of James. Verse 12-13, I paraphrased a while ago. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. What shall he receive? The crown of life. Which who gives? God gives. The Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say he is tempted. I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he any man. So I have a question here when I read this verse. If God cannot be tempted, can evil enter his kingdom?
No.
Of course not.
No.
Of course not. Think about that. It cannot enter. Of course not. Satan to the devil, he should even try, as I stated before, to tempt our Lord and Savior. You see, I thought it was meddling when my grandfather, Pastor John Maxwell and others preached the text in 123. And I told you about that. You cannot just hear the voice of God in one ear and let his voice go out the other ear. You must accept him. Repent and do God's will for you. I hope as we conclude this message, the Holy Spirit's voice is calling you. I hope the Holy Spirit's voice is calling you. Results for you and me, all of us, we will sit at the supper table. Isn't that going to be a blessing when we sit at the supper table? How do we avoid sitting in this chair? And we sit in the eternal chair. How do we avoid? I think you've got the picture. Repent. Do the things you did at first. Or do the things you've never done and ask Christ into your heart. You've experienced the risen Savior. You know you have demonstrated this, the attributes by sitting in the eternal chair. Your name is concluded in the prayer, John 3:16. Now it's time to serve God and your fellow man. It's about others, your church. Go and serve God. He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He will guide you. He will guide you. However, your mind will go back and forth, round and around. Go back, Christian, to the Word of God. Search the scriptures. search the scriptures. Our part, Exodus 15:26. Like many verses, this verse is misquoted. Then the Lord said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his command and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of these diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God that heals you. Many will relate this to physical healing. Yes, there is physical healing. A lot of you are in evidence of that here sitting today. But the greatest healing is the healing of your spirit. And that's what I want to relate this to. The healing of your spirit. That's the greatest healing. I received a spiritual healing at the cancer center treatment. I was selfish. I would go and sit in a room and pray for Don Justice constantly. I would go down there because I was up, couldn't sleep. I was in pain. I'm sitting there with my Bible. Glory, hallelujah, and praying. People are dying. Four people had the same cancer I had, died up there. A lady comes in screaming, crying, yelling, 36 years old. I'm sitting there. I'm pastor of Lincoln Park, Free Methodist Church. I'm on staff here. I'm on staff Jackson Free Methodist. I do nothing because I was trying to sit in that chair and play the game sometimes, even at that point in my life. I was selfish. Oh, I love Jesus and I was born again. I got up and I went to her and I asked her if there's anything I can do. She said, oh, I see you. You and your wife are walking everywhere. We walk constantly up there, up and down the steps and everything. You know, sometimes Kathy would have to hold my elbow. And she said, I'm going home to die. There's nothing they can do. She died. But before she died, I asked her, what is your relationship with Christ? And she said, I am a Christian. I worry about my husband. He's not with me when I'm up here. She goes on and on. Remember, serve others, 2020. Let that hope, as the praise band and the praise singers come to sing, let that hope in God allow you to serve others. Put yourself aside. Get out of this chair of mine going around and around and around and around and around and sit here so that all of us sitting here today, we will know each other in heaven. The Bible guarantees that, doesn't it? We will know each other. We sit there. The altar's open. It's always open here at Westland Free Methodist Church. I think you got two songs, right?
Yep.
On the second song, would you please stand? And I'm sure you can pray that song. The first song is asked. They're both beautiful. My hope is in Jesus. Beautiful song. My hope is in you. God bless you. Thank you.